good morning. It's nice to meet you all. I think most of you know who I am. I certainly recognize most of your faces. I live in Greystones, but I'm not actually from Greystones. I'm a Dubliner, proud and reared in Ballyfermot. So Carol Dunn will put her hands up there. So I can see a clock there, and I can go until the anointed hour of 7:30. Is that right? Yes. Yeah. So just keep us all here. So at least that's what she said. Okay. Let's just pray before we start, okay? Oh, Father God, it is such a privilege to be here, to stand in this church, Lord, and proclaim your word. We thank you, Lord, for those who've gone before us, Lord, who built this church, Lord, as a witness for you in this community. And we ask, O God, that you, O Lord, will allow it to continue to be a witness, Lord, that people in Bray and beyond Bray, Lord Jesus, will know, Lord, when they ask, where can I find God? Where can I touch God? Where can God touch me? That they will say that this is a place here, Lord, where they know that God is honored, that they know, Lord, that we lift your name on high. Father, we ask for your word, that, Lord, I would be faithful, Lord Jesus, to your word, Lord Jesus. And I ask, O God, that would touch each of our hearts, O God. Lord, as we just look at your word, Lord, I pray that you would sow it into our lives, Lord, that we will be changed, Lord Jesus, because we have heard from you today, Lord. Just bless us now in your name. Amen. Amen. Stick the glasses on so I can see the boat, okay? Right, we're actually going today to actually talk about a subject that you might know about and you might not know about. Now, Rob asked me, what are you preaching on? And I said, oh, I'm going to preach on they prefer Dagon. And he says, I don't know what you're talking about. And I said, oh, that's a good start. The minister of the church doesn't even know what I'm talking about. Dagon was a god in the Old Testament, as in a small g, okay? So he's the god of Dagon, or the god of the Philistines, or beyond that, he was actually a god beyond the Philistines as well. And what I like to look at today is in the book of Samuel, chapter 1 Samuel, and because it's actually covering a few chapters, there's no one verse that we're going to actually read from, because I'll just jump from parts of the chapter. But the story of it is this, basically. God cannot be placed in our lives on a list of gods, as in small g's. And each one of us in here, no matter who we are, no matter where we are in the Lord, if we have known the Lord for a long time, like myself, who I'm not going to tell you how long I know the Lord, because you could guess my age, but we have things within our lives that become more important than actually God that we have just been worshiping, that God we have just been raising up. And what is happening here is that a lot of the times we put God into our lives, we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we have God in our lives. But sometimes what happens is that God becomes one of many in our lives, and we do not put God to the center of where he should be. And what we find then is that the glory of the Lord, the power of the Lord, and what he wants to do in your life, the actual victory of God in your life, is dwindled less and less, because you, not God, but you and I decide that we want to share our space in our lives, our will in our lives, our determination in lives with other things beyond God. And what we want to look at today is just that story of what was going on with the Ark of the Covenant and this God called God Dagon. Okay, so in chapter 4 of Samuel, we find that what has happened is, and if you're not sure what the Ark of the Covenant is, does anybody know, anybody seen the Raiders of the Lost Ark, or the Ark of the Lost Raiders, whatever it is, with your man, who is it? Who's the actor? Yeah, okay, you all know who it is then. Okay, well, the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament, if you're not quite sure of the story, it is like this. Adam and Eve were in the garden, and they were in the presence of God, the immediate presence of God, the intimate presence of God in the garden. Okay, and then, of course, by choice, Adam and Eve chose to do something that they were not supposed to do. And they were told they weren't supposed to do, but they did it anyway. And the consequences were that they were put out of the intimate presence of God. They were meeting with God in the evening. They were walking around with the creator of the universe. And what we find is that they're out of that precious presence of God. Although God is everywhere, there is an intimate presence that we can engage in with God in our relationship with him when we take time out for him. So after they were removed, and as time went on, they pleaded, as in they, the human race, pleaded that they wanted to try get back to that relationship with God, but it was not possible. And the reason why it was not possible was God is holy. God is holy. Yes, God is loving. Yes, God is forgiving. Yes, God can do anything for us. But that's only one part of who God is. God is also holy. And because of that, mankind and our choices, we cannot blame God on these things. Our choices and the choices, and all of us in here have made choices that we're living with the consequences of today. Every single one of us have made choices in our own free will, and we are living with the consequences. And the human race was living with the consequences that we were separated from God. We couldn't have that intimate personal relationship with God. So God came up with this way of being able to be in our presence without actually being tainted by our sin, by being touched by our sin. And what he did was is that he gave a set of rules and regulations in the Old Testament on how to live a life that would keep you somewhat close to God. And one of the things he did do, which was to help them, because we humans, we need symbols. We need concrete things because it's just the way we're made. He asked for the Ark of the Covenant to be built. And the Ark of the Covenant was where God came down and he settled on there was two angels on the top of the Ark of the Covenant, the lid. And God came down and he sat in between. And the presence, the actual intimate presence of God was between these two angels on this Ark. Okay, so that's what is known as the Ark of the Covenant. And it was a precious thing. And there were so many rules and regulations in relation to the Ark of the Covenant. One of the things was is that nobody, unless you were a Levite priest, could actually touch the box, the Ark of the Covenant, or even carry the Ark of the Covenant. You must have been from the priesthood at that stage. So there was these rules and regulations. And God came down and he dwelled right in the presence there, and it was hid by a curtain, and that curtain was protecting what they called the Holy of Holies, where the intimate presence of God was, something that each one of us have a privilege today. Each one of us have that right through Jesus Christ to that intimate presence of the Holy of Holies in our lives. But in the Old Testament, before Christ died on the cross, there was ritual after ritual, sacrifice after sacrifice to enter into the Holies of Holies. And you know how many people could enter the Holies of Holies? I don't know how many people are here. Maybe 50, 60, 70. I'm not a great guesser of things. But I do know is that none of us, except one of us, if we were high priest, could enter into the Holies of Holies. When we entered into worship today, when Patrice led us in worship today, she brought us into the Holy of Holies. She brought us into the Holy of Holies. Every single one of us could go in. In the Old Testament, one person, once a year, could enter in to the Holy of Holies. And there was rules and regulations. He was a high priest. He had to sacrifice lamb. He had to go and sprinkle it. He had to wash himself from head to toe. He had to have special clothes on. It was so dangerous to go into the Holies of Holies if you did not cleanse yourself from sin, that in fact it was so dangerous that they put bells on his clothes, they put a rope on his waist, so that when he went in, if he was killed because he did not confess his sins, then they didn't hear the bells. They had to yank him out because anybody else who went in would have been automatically dead. That's what it is about the holiness of God. And that's what Patrice led us into. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, Patrice led us in there. So what are we talking about, this God, this Dagon? The thing is that the Ark of the Covenant was carried around to wherever Israel went. Wherever the Hebrew people went, this Ark was carried around. And they got into a battle. And they became so used to the presence of God that they got into a battle with the Philistines and they were defeated. They were actually defeated according to chapter 4. They could not believe it. How could God allow them? They were God's chosen people. How could they be allowed to be defeated? Do you ever ask that about yourself? How, God, I love you. I'm one of your people. How can this happen to me? How can this happen to me? Why did this happen to me? So they came up with this idea that if they took the Ark of the Covenant out of where it was in the tent of meetings and took it down onto the battlefield, that God would somehow preserve them and that they would eventually defeat the Philistines and they would be victorious because they would have the presence of God with them. But according to scriptures, that's not what happened. According to scriptures, it was the reverse. What happened was they took it there like as if it was a lucky charm, as if it was a rabbit's foot around their necks. They had lost the understanding of the presence of God. They had lost the understanding of the holiness of God. And they decided to use God for their own benefit, like as if they had not understood that we were talking about the Holy of Holies. And they took this into battle like you would a lucky charm around your neck and expect God. Because you had this, expect God, and this lucky charm is going to protect me. This Ark of the Covenant is going to protect me when it was never intended to be functioned like that at all. It was about our worship of God. The Holies of Holies was there for our worship, for us to worship God. So it was actually captured. Can I have a drink of water? It was captured by the Philistines and it was taken. Thank you. Some people say I talk too much. You'd imagine my throat would be used to it. It was captured, and what the Philistines did is they captured it and they took it away and they put it into their own temple and they set it beside the god called Dagon. Now, Dagon was a god, a military god. He was the one who gave them supposedly power. And this is all in scriptures. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 4 all the way to chapter 6, okay? And they took it and they left it there because they thought, but, you know, it wasn't their understanding. They understood the Hebrew God, by the way, because we'll see that later in the chapter. They did understand who the Hebrew God was. But what they did was is they added God to all the other gods in the temple. Because even Dagon was one of many gods in that temple. They added God to their lists of gods. And I'm afraid for us as Christians, we do the same thing. We add our gods. Now, we're talking about a small g here. And what are those gods? They would say that the most important thing in our lives is what we pour our time into, what we pour our energy into, what we pour our value into. What do we value the most? That's our gods. Do we value our jobs more than our love for God, more than serving God? There's nothing wrong with having a job, but is it more valuable? Do we value our wealth? Do we think our wealth is more important to us, that we generate more of our energy actually over to our wealth, to our careers? These are things that are in our lives that we add God to sometimes, and we don't have God to the foremost. So what the Philistines did is they put God in the temple, where the Ark of the Covenant in, which was the very presence of God on the earth at that stage, the intimate presence of God on the earth, and they left him in the temple. And the scriptures tell us that actually the next morning when the priests of the temple went in, they found the statue of Dagon on the floor, face down. And so they propped it up. The next day they went back in, and this time they found the statue of Dagon on the ground without a head, without the arms, and the head was put was actually over at the threshold. It's like something of the Raiders of the Lost Ark, and this is actually scriptural. And the head was actually lying across the threshold of the temple. And this went on until they finally decided that, okay, this is not going to work. But see, something else happened. A plague came to the town where the Ark of the Covenant was being kept. And they were plagued with tumors and boils, and rats were overrunning the city. And they realized that they needed to get rid of the Ark of the Covenant. But they didn't know what to do with it, because they still wanted to keep it, because they knew the Ark of the Covenant was a blessing to the Israelites. Because when they brought it down to the battlefield, they all cheered when they saw it. But the fact is that sometimes we cannot make God bless our doings just because we want to do them. And this is what the Hebrews did. They decided that they were going to use God in this way, and they reap the consequences. And sometimes as Christians, we do the same thing. We use God and try to get God to bless the things that we have decided. We try to get God to say, okay, God, I want to do this, so I want you to bless this. It's not wrong. It's not wrong. It's not sinful. But it's not necessarily what God intended for you to do. It wasn't what the Ark of the Covenant was about. And the same thing in our lives. There are things in our lives that we decide to do because we want to do them. And it's not what God had for our lives. It is not the blessing that God had for us. So the Philistines were in a predicament. They needed to get rid of the Ark of the Covenant out of their city. So they moved it. So they were so neighborly, they moved it to the next town in the land. And, you know, they were so kind to give the Ark of the Covenant to the next town. But the same thing happened until finally some town met them and said, we don't want the Ark of the Covenant. We want it sent back. But they wouldn't send it just back because they wanted the blessings. They preferred. Now, they didn't turn around and say, hold on a second. We have these gods, and here's a god of the Hebrews, and he's the one knocking over our statues. He's the one who's given us a plague. He's the one who is causing the rats to rule over us. He's the one who's brought misery into our lives. He's the one who is doing these things. He's the one who has been powerful in Israel. And yet what you find here is what? Did they turn to God? They didn't. They preferred Dagon. They actually preferred to have their own idols, their own statues. And what they did is that the one true God who could make a difference in their lives, they rejected. They never even considered, even though they recognized it. And the reason why they recognized it is they got rid of the Ark of the Covenant because they said, we do not want what happened to Egypt happening to us. And if you remember, when Pharaoh was asked to let God's people go and he didn't, it started with plagues and it ended up with the firstborn being dead until they were freed. And it was the same with the Ark of the Covenant. So they were aware of the mightiness of God, and yet they preferred this statue. And for us in our lives, sometimes that's exactly where we stand. We prefer our own choices, even though we know these choices are not going to reap what God, the amazing blessings that God has for life. It's not going to reap the freedom that God can give to us. It is not going to reap that which God has and the plans and the mightiness that he is going to give to you as a Christian who loves him. We sometimes prefer to stay in the situation that we're in. We don't want to change. We don't want to look at Christ and have Christ be the center of our lives, to be the most important person in our lives. Because in some ways, you'd say, it is much easier just to live the way you are, to live as if you're doing your own thing and come to church on a Sunday morning and come and read our Bibles now and then and it not change our lives, not impact our lives. And this is what was going on here is that they prefer the comfort of a God who was impersonal, who was made of wood, who did not impact their lives, who had no, I suppose, control or no rights to their lives. And God has a right to our lives. When we surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we surrendered to the Christlikeness that was set down in scriptures. We surrendered to that, and we gave God that right within our lives to touch us, to change us, to mold us into a Christlikeness. And what we have here in the scriptures is that they preferred a God who was distant, a God who did not touch our lives, a God who did not convict us, a God who let us continue on sinning if we wanted to sin. We didn't have to answer for things in our lives that had nothing to do with God. They chose themselves. They chose themselves over a powerful God. And I think for many of us, we do exactly the same thing. So the Philistines needed to get rid of the Ark of the Covenant and the presence of God out of their land in order for them to get back to normal, in order not to be convicted and not to be bothered. We sometimes do that ourselves. We get to a situation in our Christian lives where we don't want to be bothered by the conviction of the Lord because we want to do what we want to do. We don't want to surrender the things in our lives because it's much more comfortable not have to deal with them. We don't have to deal with them. So the Philistines ended up deciding to test God because, you see, while they didn't want to acknowledge the God of the Ark of the Covenant, they also didn't want the blessing, although they were being persecuted by it. They didn't want to go just in case it was a mistake and it's just by chance these things were happening. The plagues might have been by chance. It could have been just purely incidental, the word says. And what they say is they come up with this idea. They bring their theologians, they bring their priests, and they say, what will we do? Because they still wanted to hold on to that blessing of God. Do we do that? We come to church on a Sunday morning, we do what's right, because we want to hold on to that blessing of the Lord, but yet we don't want the fullness of God. We don't want God radically changing our lives. We don't want God to tell us to surrender everything. We don't want God to give up this part that we really enjoy, but we know we shouldn't really be doing it. We don't want to do that. And the Philistines were like that. They knew that these things were actually impacting them, but they were kind of thinking they still wanted that just in case. So what they did was they tested. And the priest said, get two cows, milch cows that had just calved, who had never been yoked. Put them together, get a cart, yoke them together, get a cart. Now, if you've never been yoked, if you don't understand, I mean, being city people like myself, you might not understand that. But when they're yoked, it takes a time for them to get used to each other. So they were to have two cows that never were yoked together, that had never been harnessed to a cart, that had just given birth, which meant, and they were to tie their calves up and put them away so that they couldn't be near them. And they were to put the Ark of the Covenant on top of the cart. And on top of that, they were to put a guilt offering, which they did. They made molds of the rats, and they made molds of the tumors that they had been afflicted with as a guilt offering. It was made of gold, put on the cart, and they said, let them loose, let the cows loose. And if they go up towards the land of Beth Shemesh, which is the Hebrew land, which is where freedom, back to God's people, then we know it was God who smite us. But if it doesn't, then the cows move off. And of course, natural instincts is if a mother has just given birth, she will look for her newborn. And then that, so they had made it difficult in that the cows then would actually go towards the calves. That would have been the natural thing. But you see, God got a grip of those cows, and he brought them and he led them to the land of the Hebrews. Not only to the land of the Hebrews, he led them all the way to a village that was a Levite village. And remember, only Levites could handle the Ark of the Covenant. God guided it out, and the Philistines knew that it was God. It wasn't by chance that things had happened in their lives. It wasn't an accident that these things had happened in their lives. They had chosen their own gods over the presence of God, and they paid a price for it. They paid consequences, and we've all done that. in our lives. We have paid. So when it gets then to Israel, or not Israel as we know it, but into the land of Hebrews, they actually then made a mistake. Somebody actually looked in the Ark of the Covenant. A couple of men looked into the Ark of the Covenant, which was completely and utterly forbidding. And over 50,000, it says in scriptures, were slain. And the reason why they were slain was is that they didn't respect the presence of the Lord. They didn't respect what God had put down. Now, this might say, gosh, you're drawing a picture of a very harsh God here, Annette. We need love. We need the God of love here. I'm struggling, Annette. I need you to tell me that God loves me. I need you to tell me that God can rescue me. I need you to tell me that God is going to bless me. I came here this morning because I wanted to be lifted out of my despair. And you're telling me a story of God smiting 50,000 people, giving people tumors, giving people boils, let the rats run around your house. And you're telling me that this is the God that you want us to worship? Yes. Yes. Because God does all those things. Yes, God does heal. Yes, God does deliver. Yes, God does bless. But God is a holy God. If you want those things, because the Levite priest took over the handling of the Ark of the Covenant, and Israel was blessed because they followed the principles that God had laid down. They followed the principles that God had laid down. And it's the same with us as Christians. It's the same with us as Christians, that we follow the things of the Lord and we get to know the blessings of the Lord. Because what happens as a Christian when we come to the Lord is that the more we do our own thing, even as Christians, the glory of the Lord becomes dimmer and dimmer and dimmer in our lives. But when we chose to follow the things of the Lord, the glory of the Lord becomes brighter and brighter, and the impact of the Lord on your life. So those things of God loving you, you will know more powerfully. Those things of God releasing you, you will know more powerfully. Those things of God using you, restoring your life, you will know, because the closer we come and the closer we stay to Christ, the closer, the more stronger we become in him and the more powerful he is in our lives. So what we find here is that what is the most important thing? What are you sharing your life? What are you sharing your life with? Where is Christ in relation in your life? What is the most important thing in your life? What is the most important thing? Is Christ one of many things in your temple? Is he one of those in the temples and that he has to fight for position? Because God doesn't fight for position. He didn't fight for position in the Philistines. He just eradicated the God. He just dismantled him. And God will do that in your life if you allow him. God will dismantle which is what is holding you. God brought the Philistines to the right decision in order for them to be blessed eventually. And God brought the Hebrews to the right position. In our lives, what is holding you? What is the God in your life? What is the thing that is more important to you than your love for the Lord? What is the thing that's more important to you? Maybe you feel like you love the Lord more than you, and you can't see it. But there are things in your life that you have allowed God to actually take a second place to. And you wonder, why haven't I been blessed? Why haven't I free? Why hasn't God delivered me? Why hasn't God anointed me? Why aren't I seeing people when I testify and witness? Why aren't I seeing people coming to the Lord? It's because of where we position Christ in our lives. Where have we positioned Christ in our lives? It is. Our salvation was given to us freely. Every single one of us was saved because Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again. And he came into our lives when we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And he cleansed us and he allowed us to walk into the Holy of Holies. No sacrifice, no priest needing to take us by the hand into the Holies of Holies. We enter into the Holies of Holies because of the blood of Jesus Christ in our lives. But our Christianity doesn't stop there. Our salvation stops there. Our Christianity then moves on. We become stronger in the Lord by practicing, our faith, by living our faith, by honoring God, by spending that time. It's not work, it's pleasure. Take one thing in your life today, just one thing in your life today that you struggle with that's more important than God in your life, and ask God to help you to overcome it. Maybe you spend too much time watching telly. Maybe it's more important that your body beautiful, or maybe it's more important that your job gets all the overtime that you can't do anything for the Lord. Maybe it's more important that your family become before you, or your relationship becomes before your relationship with the Lord. Maybe it's more important that you live your own life and you don't want to do what God has asked you to do. Maybe all of those things have become more important to you than where Christ should be in your life. Today, just take one of those things, or whatever it is that you know in your own heart, and ask God to help you put that behind him, put that one thing behind him. And when then that's dealt with, then move on to the next thing and ask God to help you. The Philistines got rid of the God of Dagon. Got rid of the God of the Hebrews. They preferred Dagon, and they lived without God and lived with consequences of that. We here in this church have chosen God of the Bible. There's a world out there that needs Christians to live a Christ-like life. There's a world out there that needs God's light to be shone in his people so that we can reach this world, that we can reach our families, that we can reach beyond that by the testimony of our lives, by the power of God in our lives. Allow God to be God in your life. Allow God to touch your life. Allow him to touch your life. It doesn't matter where you come from or what you've done in life. Those things are incidental in God's kingdom. Because when I stand before the Lord, and when Rob stands before the Lord, and when Naomi stands before the Lord, God looks at his son's blood, the robes of righteousness. So when we stand, when we go before the Lord, when we die, God will say, welcome. And he won't remember the things that I've done, because he will see his son. He won't remember the things that Naomi has done, because he will see his son. He won't remember the things that Rob has done, because he will see his son. He won't remember what you've done, because he will see his son. That's what it means to have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's what it means to have your sins washed away. That's what it means to be free in Christ. And when that happens, our lives change and we become a light to somebody else, and we pass on that message of salvation. Who do you prefer? Who do you prefer to be the foremost in your life? Is it God, or is it the other things? Only you can make that decision. Only you can wrestle between you and God with that. Who do you prefer? Who is the most paramount thing in your life, or person in your life, or thing in your life? Let's pray and let it be Christ. Father God, I just ask, oh God, that we know that you are a loving God. We know that you are a powerful God. We know, God, that you can heal. We know that you can deliver. Lord, your might we saw today, Lord. We saw your might, Lord Jesus. We saw the might of your Father in heaven, Lord, today. And Father, I just pray, oh God, that you would move in the hearts of each one of us. That, Lord, we would indeed put you first in our lives, oh God. That we would indeed, Lord, as we put you first, Lord, know your power in our lives. Know there are freedom in our lives, Lord, and know your love in our lives. But Lord, also help us to remember, Lord, that you are a holy God. You are a holy God. And Lord, that you want us, Lord Jesus, to surrender that which is not of you in our lives, Lord. That you, O God, can become first in our lives. Just touch us now, Lord, as we worship in your presence, in your holy of holies, because your Son washed us, took us by the hand, and led us into your presence, Lord. I pray, Lord, a blessing upon each person here. In your name, amen.